14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Lord, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us, God, as we go through this one more church, God, in this book. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us right now, Lord, to do what I cannot do on my own. God, I need you tonight, Lord, to preach this, to teach this, God. And I pray, God, you'd help us, each and every one, to be attentive, God, to what your word has to say to each and every individual. And we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, I want to remind you once again that these churches that we've been preaching about can be taken in three different ways. Practically, there are real letters to real churches at that time. They can be taken practically. They can be taken prophetically. These letters portray the church in various church ages down throughout the years. The church that we're preaching about tonight is basically the last church age in which we are living in right now. This church age goes from about 1900 A.D. up until the rapture of the church. This goes right up to the rapture of the church. And it also can be taken personally. In other words, it can be written to you.
Amen.
And to individual churches, but it can be taken personally, because as we read the book of Revelation, and as you read the Bible, you need to read the Bible as a personal book, as a letter written from God to you. See, the problem is, a lot of times we look at it, Brother Jerry, we say, well, this is for Jackie, or this is for Dallas. No, this is for us.
Amen.
It's for each and every one of us as individuals, amen? The city was founded by Antiochus II sometime about 253 B.C. It was named after his wife, Laodice. The city was located on a high plateau, so it was very secure from enemy attack. The one defensive problem that the city of Laodicea had, they had no access to water in the city. So about 10 miles away, there was a cold water was piped in through a cold aqueduct, and about 6 miles in the other direction, hot water was piped into the church. Now, that's why Jesus uses the term lukewarm in this church, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. By the time the water traveled 10 miles one way and 6 miles the other way, from the hot spring 6 miles, it wasn't hot no more. And from when it come out of the cold on the other end, when it got to the city, it wasn't cold no more. Okay? Keep that in mind. Laodicea was destroyed. The city of Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake in 61 A.D. They were so wealthy that they rebuilt the city themselves without any help from Caesar. Tells you how wealthy and how prosperous this city was. The city was famous for three different things. It was famous for their finances. This was a financial juggernaut back in the day. In other words, if 9/11 would have happened back then, they'd have bombed this city. This is where all the financial banking was. It was also known for fashion. It was renowned for the soft black wool that was produced there. And it was also known for pharmaceuticals. There was some kind of a tablet. I'm not sure exactly what kind of tablet it was, but it was crushed, and it was mixed with water, and it was put on the eyes. It was supposed to help the eyes. And we'll get into all this as we get into this book in a little bit. Now, the problem in Laodicea. Verse 14 through verse 17. And I'm not going to go back and read these verses, but you can go back and read them if you need to. Verse 4, Jesus has nothing good to say about this church. Not one thing is Jesus got good. Let me reiterate this. The only good thing Jesus has got to say about this church is that y'all can repent. Amen. Somebody ought to shout right there. Amen. I mean, you think about that. When I thought, and as I was studying this, Brother Robert, I mean, the thought kept coming back to my mind and coming back to my mind. These jokers was awful. They were awful. And Jesus still loved them. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. So, some of y'all, the light's going to come on tonight. Some of y'all going to kick the cover off the bed. I've been awful, and Jesus still loves me. Amen. Amen. Now, the problem in Laodicea, he tells them that all their problems, problem of possession. Verse 14 says, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation. He tells them about the problem of possession. I want you to notice a few little things right here. He writes to the letter of the Laodiceans. If you go back, and don't go back right now because I ain't going to have time, but go back in these chapters, this is written in a little different light. In the other churches, he writes to the church of, to the church in, to the church. He's basically saying in them other books, this is my church. But in this passage, he says, this is your church. It was possession. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. They you know, it ain't about him no more. It's all about you. And it's all about them. And other cities, you know, we cannot forget why the church exists. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about Liberty. It ain't about Camp Creek. It ain't about High Point. It's all about Jesus. It's his church. And that's the problem with a lot of churches. We were talking with Preacher Lanny the last couple of days. We spent a little bit of time with them. We had a business meeting yesterday, and we were talking about how there's churches all over. I think we got 9 or 10 churches now in South Carolina that does not have pastors. And he and I were talking about these churches. He said, this is a good church. He said, but it's a community-run church. There's a family in that community that kind of hovers over the church. That ain't right. That's not right. It's not about a family. This ain't your church. It's his church, amen. He's the one that keeps the church. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Let me tell you something. I can't protect the church. I can pray, but I'm telling you right now, it's Jesus, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the angels of God that protect the church and keep us safe, amen. It's all about him. Our job is to preach Jesus. Our job is to praise Jesus. Our job is to promote Jesus. And our job is to publish Jesus. Amen. It ain't our job to hover over the church. Let me tell you something. I love our deacon board. But it ain't our deacon board's job to hover over the church. It ain't our deacon board's job to hover over the finances. It ain't our deacon board's job to hover over. Hey, it's our deacon board is there to help the church run in the right direction, to handle the business end of the church. Glory to God. And let the preacher handle the spiritual end of the church, and let God do the rest. The problem of there was a problem with possession, but there was a problem of passion. Jesus tells them that like the water in the city, they have become lukewarm. Remember what I told you. It came out of a cold well 10 miles away. Came out of a hot spring 6 miles away in the other direction. If you was in the hot spring, everything was cool. I mean, I got to think about it. I was studying this, Brother Robert. When I take a bath, I like to take a hot bath. If y'all don't wake up. Jamie, you better say amen next time I say something like that. But when I don't care if it's the middle of the summertime. I like taking a hot bath. I like taking a hot shower. Amen. And when I want a drink of water, I want cold water. I don't want lukewarm water. I'm not like the old lady on the war room now. When I want my coffee hot and I want my water cold. Anything in between ain't good. That's where Jesus tell them they at. He said, just like the water you got coming into the city, you became, there's a lack of passion. Jesus tells them they're just basically going through the motions. See, as we read this about a church that don't have no financial problems. They are booming financially. They are booming with members. On the outside looking in, this is probably the best looking church that we've looked at as far as the seven churches. But on the inside looking out, it was like an apple that was rotten in the core. It was no passion. No passion for the Spirit and worship. No passion for the Word of God. No passion for the cross. And I'm telling you right now, when somebody's singing about the cross and somebody is preaching about the cross where Jesus died and suffered and paid your sin debt so that you don't have to die and go to hell, there's a problem when Christians can sit there in the pew with their arms crossed and their lips poked out like they've been sucking on lemons. I'm telling you, when you start singing and preaching about the cross, that ought to excite us. Amen. Jesus said, you make me sick. That's basically the title of the sermon tonight. Jesus said, you make me sick. And this is the condition, I'm going to be honest with you, this is the condition of most churches. Not all the churches, not all churches. This is the condition of most churches. I told you the other day about a church in Oklahoma where they had this guy hooked to a wire and he was jumping around and flying all over the stage and they had the lights flashing and the music playing loud and that's the problem with a lot of. I've been in church a long time, Mike, and you have to. And Brother Ralph's gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a certain crowd, they get excited over the singing. They can come in, so I'm telling you right now, you can let the bus pull up, and the church house will be packed out. Amen. They get up and sing, son, and people will have theirself a fit. And then the man of God get up, open up the word, and they sit down. I have seen them leave. I mean, folks, that's when we got a passion for the wrong thing. As I was studying, I looked up the word apathy. And this is where most people in church is. Apathy is the absence or suppression of passion, emotion, or excitement. The church has got apathy. A lot of Christians have gotten apathetic to God. We've heard it and heard it and heard it, and we can't get excited no more because it don't excite us like it used to. Jesus said, you got lukewarm. Listen, I don't expect everybody to act like me. I don't expect that. I do not expect. I don't expect, Miss Linda was picking on Preacher Justin the other day, he used to be redheaded. The big guy that preached a couple Sundays ago that stepped across the pew. I don't expect everybody to act like preachers. I don't expect Larry to act like a preacher acts. But Larry gets excited. I'm going to be honest with you. And Jamie is just sitting right there in view tonight. Don't you move. But I've known Jamie for 24 years. I don't expect Jamie to act like me. But when I'm preaching up here in a big way and the band's up here singing and I look back and I lock on to Jamie and Jamie's got a smile on her face, it reminds me of how Dennis Cato used to sit right there on the end of that pew. Dennis Cato never stood up, waved his hands like that right there. Dennis Cato never got up in the pew. He never ran down the aisle. But I could be preaching like I'm preaching right now. He'd be leaning out in that aisle and he'd be smiling at me with a big old grin. He might have well been chunking handkerchiefs at me and throw. He might y'all have been throwing song books. I'm telling you right now, I don't expect you to act like me, but my God, you ought to be happy about something every once in a while. Alan Carr said this. Preacher Alan Carr said this. Let me just say this, and I'll move on. He said, there are some things about which you cannot be indifferent. Indifference and apathy are not options when it comes to Jesus Christ. No one who is right with God can pass Calvary and see the Lord bleeding and broken and dead and be unmoved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus died for you. Jesus took all your sins upon him, upon himself when he died on that cross. That means ever drop of liquor, ever drop of beer, ever cuss word, everything you ever did. He took it upon himself and died so that you don't have to die and go to hell. That ought to excite us, amen. There was a problem of perception. When the people and of the church of Laodicea looked at themselves, they thought everything was fine. But Jesus saw something different. What they saw was they thought they were wealthy. They saw they were powerful. They thought, we don't need nothing. But Jesus saw something different. And if we ain't careful, we get like that. If we ain't careful, most people don't think they need revival. I do.
Amen.
Most people don't think they need to repent. I do.
Amen?
Amen? Most people don't, we don't need more money in the church. We don't need more people in the church. What we need is more Jesus in the church.
Right, amen.
Amen. And let me tell you, if we get Jesus in the church like we need Jesus in the church, everything else will come in. Hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. Now, the problems in Laodicea, the prescription for Laodicea was this. In verse 14 through verse 19, the church was in trouble, but all is not lost. Remember what I told you a while ago. The church was in trouble, but there is hope, glory to God. There was a divine appearance. Now, in verse 14, notice how Jesus comes to this dead church. He comes as the confirming one. He comes and he says, he is the amen. The Hebrew word for amen, amen means so be it, or let it be so. That's why when we end our prayers, we end our prayers with amen. It's a word of confirmation and finality. When we say amen, that is the end of the prayer. Jesus said, I am the amen. I am the one that's going. I am the first and the last. Amen. I'm the one that's in charge here. He goes on to talk about how that he is he was the creation one. Amen. He's the one that created it all. So he's the one that's going to judge it all. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet. Now listen, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son. Did y'all get that? It's his word. He's the final authority. He's the one that's going to be there. Then he comes as the confronting one. He also says he's the faithful and true witness. Jesus tells them the truth, amen. They're thinking, Brother Robert, they're thinking we're wealthy. All the bills are paid. Everything's going great. It couldn't get no better. And the problem is they won't. I thought about Brother Ralph. I thought about kind of going back and preaching a little bit on these churches again. You notice all these letters are written to the messenger of the church, to the messenger of the church of Sardis, to the messenger of the church of Philadelphia, to the messenger of the church of Thyatira. These letters were written to the preachers. That's the messenger. In other words, if Jesus was writing a letter to Liberty, it would be addressed to Pastor Tim Larimore, for Pastor Tim Larimore to deliver it to Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. What in the world kind of preacher do these people have? They obviously had a preacher that just told them what they wanted to hear. And then Jesus shows up. He just messed it all up, didn't he? Amen. He just messed it all up. He told them the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus wants them to know that he really knows who they are. And I want you to understand something tonight. Jesus knows who you are. You can fool everybody. You can come into God's house and you can sit there. You can look good and smell good and everything look right on the outside. But Jesus knows who you are when you lay down at night. He knows who you are when you get in the car outside. He knows who you are on your job. He knows how you cuss. He knows how you swear. He knows how you drink. He knows how you do things that you ain't got no business doing. I'm just telling you, Jesus knows. Then he comes as the controlling one. He said the beginning of the creation of God. This identifies Jesus as the creator and the controller of all things. Let me tell you something. If he created it, he can control it. Amen. I've said this before. A little over about 6,000 years ago, Jesus stood out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. He spoke the sun where it is. He put the moon where it is. And he ain't had to say do that. He ain't had to talk to the sun since. It's been doing its job ever since he put it there the first time. And it's still keeping perfect time, amen. He is the controller of all things. He's still in control today. And then it comes with a divine announcement. He has a word for this church. The Lord's desire for this church. Jesus tells this church he wants them to be either hot or cold. That's how God wants us. He wants us to either be hot or cold. Like I said a while ago, hot water is great for a bath. Lukewarm water ain't good for a bath. I don't like taking a lukewarm bath. I remember we went to, I'll be honest, I don't like taking a cold bath either. Cold is good when it's hot outside and you want something to drink. Jesus said, I want you to be one way or the other. And I thought about this before years ago when I was teaching this. If you're hot, Jesus can use you. If you're cold, you're cold. So Jesus can help you. He said, but if you lukewarm, that word spew right there is a strong word. It means vomit. Jesus said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick. The Lord's discussed with the church. The Lord's description of the church. According to verse 17, they thought they had it all. He looks at him and says, you ain't got nothing. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you ain't got nothing. A church that don't have the Spirit of God moving in the church, I don't care about all the programs. I don't care about all the stuff that got going on. You can have everything going on until everybody looks at you and says, that's the greatest church in the world. But if you ain't got the Spirit of God moving inside and you don't have the drawing of the Holy Ghost moving inside and it's not convicting it's not convicting Christians and it's not convicting the lost and people not under conviction when they come into God's house, there's something wrong. They were proud of their achievements. Jesus said they were wretched. That means they were troubled and miserable. They were proud of their wealth. Jesus tells them, you're actually poor. It means destitute and reduced to begging. They were proud of their vision of themselves. Jesus tells them that they are blind, that they cannot really see themselves. See, I remember somebody said one time, someone said, there's no one who is so blind as who will not see. You can still see and still be blind. Then he gives them some spiritual advice. Jesus invites them to come to him. Now listen, this is the part that blows my mind, Chucky. All that's going on and he still loves them. He has a word of compassion. As many as I love, just come back. Just come back. It's like I preach Sunday morning. Just get back to the Father's house. Just get back. The word of caution, he said, the word of caution is, I rebuke and chasten. Now listen, just because he loves us don't mean that he won't chasten us. Understand that. He's trying to love them back to start with. He's telling them, I love you. As many as I love you. Come on back. Come on. I told you this before. If King David would have repented before Nathan had to go to him, it wouldn't have been nowhere near as bad. But when he waited till Nathan had to come to him and God had to get his attention, I'm telling you, the hammer dropped. And when God decides to drop the hammer, it ain't going back up. Just because he loves us don't mean that he's going to let you keep going. Just because he loves you don't mean that he's going to let you keep getting away. First, he'll rebuke. This word means to convict or correct. Then he'll come. If we come, he'll receive us. But if we fail to heed the rebuke, he will do more. It gets a little tougher. The word chasten right there basically means to correct with blows. Did y'all hear what I said? To correct with blows. I ain't talking about spankings either. I'm talking about whoopings. We're his children. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastises. And when we get out of the way, he's going to try to get us back. Amen? I'll never forget it. And I used this illustration just a few days ago. When Miss Angie was, when Brett was real little, Juwan used to keep Brett and Ryan after school every once in a while. Did it for a good little while. I remember Brett was crawling around. And there was something that I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of little light that it had a little bulb on it and it was hot. And Brett crawled over there, Brother Robert, and he was trying to get a hold of that light. And I told him no, and Juwan told him no, and he would reach for that light and I'd pop his hand. Hard-headed little joker. Still hard-headed. But I must have popped his hand. But every time I got a little harder. Until he realized that if he touched that light or whatever that was, if I'd have let him touch it, it was going to hurt him. So I was doing it for his own good. Amen? And when God decides he's going to get your attention, he will correct you with blows if he has to. And they will keep getting harder. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just telling you. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15 says this, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 15, verse 10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Then there's a word of counsel. He said, be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. That's all you got to do. Amen. Be zealous and repent. You got the problems. You got the prescription. Now let's look at the promise. And I'm going to come to a close. Verse 20 and 21, behold, I stand at the door and knock. All of us have seen the picture of Jesus standing outside the door knocking, amen. We've all seen the picture. We've all heard the story of the guy that painted it. So I don't remember what his name was, Jackie, but he painted this picture, and somebody come to him and said, hey, you messed this thing up. He said, what you mean? He said, there ain't no doorknob on the door. He said, no, I didn't mess it up. The doorknob's on the inside. You got to open up for him. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and sat down with my Father at his throne. Understand, so that Jesus, let me tell you, again, this blows my mind that these folks were so far out there in left field, so far away from the will of God, and this is the picture that Jesus says, I'm standing at the door knocking, begging you to open the door. You're lukewarm. You make me sick. You come into my house and you thinking you all that, but I really know. If you'll just open the door and let me in, I can take care of everything. He's telling this dead church, these dead Christians, these folks that were so full of themselves, they didn't think they needed no help, Jackie. Just open up and let me in and watch what I can do. If you'll open up and let me in, you'll sit with me. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all read that? Let me read that to you one more time. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Ooh. From where you at right now, can you imagine that? Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus has given them time to repent. He gives us all time to repent. Somebody put it this way, Adam. They had evicted Jesus out of their church. Hear what I said? They had kicked Jesus out of the church, and he's trying to get back in. How many of us, I don't know everybody's heart tonight. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. You've evicted Jesus out of your heart. You've evicted Jesus out of your mind. You've evicted Jesus out of your emotions. You've evicted Jesus out of your thought process. Don't you know I love you? Don't you know I just want to get back in? Don't you know if you'll open this door, that word sup right there basically means I'll sit down and eat with you and you can sit down and eat with me. All you got to do is repent. He wants the same for you and me. He wants the same for you and me. I want you to bow your heads with me.